Well, good morning to everyone. Good to see you once again. Try to speak up here a little bit. I know sometimes the sound doesn't quite get all the way back up in there for some of who might be a little older having a little trouble hearing, so I will try to speak a little more at the mic and get it up there to you. You know, sometimes if you have a little bit deeper voice, sometimes it doesn't carry quite as far, so I try to pull it up an octave and make it go a little further too. When I was in fifth grade, back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, our school offered every student an opportunity to play an instrument. And I chose the trombone at the time. It was the loudest instrument in the band, and it suited my personality. I was a pretty loud kid. I only played it until 10th grade and then quit playing, but having the exposure to music at the time and over those years left me with two wonderful gifts besides my two daughters. The two gifts basically were a good sense of rhythm. I at least had a pretty good sense of rhythm that went with it. And secondly, I could also tell when I was off-key singing any of the hymns. And I can do that at least until this day, which has been a blessing. My ear, basically, by the exposure to music, was developed, trained, tuned in, so to speak, by it. And every child should have that opportunity to be exposed to music, especially reading music. Sometimes they say that will even raise their math scores later on. A lot of connections with it that I don't have time to go into. But music is something every member or visitor to the Church of God who comes to visit with us, that they attend services, they're exposed to music. They're exposed to the hymns the very first time they come to see us. Not only can it be something that's accompanied by instruments, but God has given us each a very special gift in terms of our voice. And with exposure to music, that gift can be developed in some marvelous ways. My two daughters frequently sing duets for special music. However, there aren't a lot of pieces of music for the Feast of Tabernacles or that are appropriate for the feast that in which they can do those duets. But occasionally they get to sing a solo as well. It isn't for me, however, that they sing, although it gives me great pleasure to hear them. And we all gather great pleasure from hearing them, but they sing special music, and music is played in services for God, to His glory, to His praise. Even though I'd like for them to sing for me, but that's not what it's really for. Special music is given in praise to God. It's just something that, you know, the hymns in thanksgiving, to praise, to honor and glory are God. So this morning I want to talk briefly about the subject of music. Music, particularly as it relates in the Bible to the first temple, because that's probably the example we're going to have of the kind of music that we'll have later in the second temple, or the great temple when Jesus Christ returns. That's what I expect will probably occur there as well during the millennium of Christ's reign. Music seems to get its start very early in the Bible. We have probably one of the first examples I can think of is Moses' psalm of praise, or the Song of Moses is sometimes called. It's found in Exodus chapter 15. I don't have time to go there necessarily and look at it, but that's kind of as early, it begins very early in the Bible and continues throughout. First, we can take a look at something that occurred in the temple in the past, and then secondly, we can kind of project that forward to what's likely to be the case in the temple in the future. Especially considering that David, of course, was king of Israel then, but not only king of Israel then, he's also going to be king of Israel under Jesus Christ in the coming millennium as well. And so I expect he will have a great deal to do with music then. And I'm going to spend some time in the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, the last two books in the Old Testament in the inspired order, and look at some of the things that he does and says in there. We're going to take a look at those. They were written by Ezra, and from the perspective of those two books in particular are written from, not so much the, you know, we often think of 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, and 1st and 2nd Chronicles as all being very similar, sometimes recording even the same events, slightly different wording, slightly different approach. And the approach that's different is that the Chronicles are written in terms of the perspective of the priesthood, by the priests, their perspective on the events that occurred, rather than the perspective of the kings, which was different. Very shortly after David became king of Israel, he decided it was time to bring the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem, up to the tabernacle that he had erected for it there in Jerusalem. And he brought it up from the house of Obed-Edom up to the city of David to the tabernacle. And he cautioned the Levites to be very careful how they did that, or how they did that process. And of course, there were stories about some of the difficulties that they had in bringing it up. But I won't go into those. Let's go over to 1 Chronicles to begin with. 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 16. 1 Chronicles 15, beginning in verse 16, because we'll see one of the things that David says to them here as he's telling them to bring this up and to how to handle the bringing up of the ark. 1 Chronicles 15, 16. Then David spoke to the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers, accompanied by instruments of music, stringed instruments, harps, and cymbals, by raising the voice with resounding joy. Resounding joy. Times of joy are times for music. It certainly appears here. And the Feast of Tabernacles is also a time of joy in which we are to be joyful. Christ's reign on this earth is going to be a time for joy, especially for all of the individuals who have come out of great tribulation and all the problems that occur before the millennium starts. They're going to be joyful for a change. They're going to be joyful for all that he does, for the good things that he brings, for the change in the world's government, for all of the things that are coming. And certainly it will be a time for joy. Perhaps maybe not the very first Sabbath, or maybe not the very first celebration or festival, but as time goes on throughout the millennium, we're going to see them begin to increase in joy as they realize the success with which Jesus Christ is governing the world. And it's interesting here too. So we see David, a man certainly gifted with music, or the ability to perform, to sing, to create, to write it, to even make instruments, understood that it was something to be offered to God to express our joy and our praise to him. And he gives instructions to the Levites so that they can sing, they can be accompanied by instruments, and raising the voice with resounding joy and play music in praise to God. The Feast of Tabernacles is one of those times of resounding joy. And we should express it. We should be able to express it. As we sing in the hymns here, in our congregation, in our work, in our celebration here. David, too, did the same thing. He brought the ark up to the city of David, and it was cause for great celebration when he did so, and to offer praise to God. And it's interesting, too, I talked a little bit about being priests during the millennium. David puts on a linen ephod to bring the ark up as he sings and as he dances and as he does the things that he does with the ark on the way up to Jerusalem. The linen ephod was something the high priest wore. But why is David wearing it as king? Well, because he's acting in the role of a priest. He is giving glory to God. He's praising God as he brings it up. Most of you are familiar with the fact that David danced before God and before the ark as it was coming up. 1 Chronicles 15, if you move over to verse 28, same chapter here. Verse 28. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn, with trumpets and with cymbals, making music with stringed instruments and harps. Not only did he dance, it also tells us David whirled and played instruments in verse 29. So we see this time of joy, and later we'll see others linked to the playing and the singing of music. Now notice what it says about King Hezekiah. Let's go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 29 now. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning in verse 25. 2 Chronicles 29, beginning in verse 25. And he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with stringed instruments, with harps, according to the commandment of David, of Gad the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet, and thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. The Levites stood with the instruments of David, notice, and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah commanded them to offer the burnt offering on the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also began with the trumpets and with the instruments of David, king of Israel. So all the assembly worshipped the singers and sang, and the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had finished the offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worshipped. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. It was part of the concept of worshiping here. So we see what David set up. This system left a permanent mark on the temple and its ceremony and how things were done in terms of the music right through generations thereafter. Now, let me reference a later warning to Zion and Samaria about their behavior. This is kind of a negative scripture in one way, but it's positive in that it gives us some information about what David did. Let's go over to the book of Amos. Hosea, Joel, and Amos. Amos chapter 6 and verse 5. You can get there in the sticky pages here. Okay. Amos chapter 6 and verse 5. He says, who sing idly to the sound of stringed instruments and invent for yourselves musical instruments like David. David was an inventor of musical instruments. That's the positive side of what we're seeing here. Amos is a book warning Israel and Judah about their behavior before God. And this particular verse is talking about their leisure attitude or their idle time. It's kind of an allusion to complacency that I talked about in an earlier sermon here a few days ago. They pass their idle time with instruments, but what I'm trying to point out here is that David actually made instruments. He made his own instruments, and they were designed for praising God and the temple ceremonies, not necessarily for personal pleasure we see here or living life at ease. But he designed his own instruments. Let's go over to Psalms as well. We can see something interesting David wrote here too. Psalm, in fact, there's so many verses on music in the Psalms, you have to just kind of pick a few out and forget trying to get to all the rest. Psalm 27 and verse 6. Psalm 27 and verse 6. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Now here we are at the Feast of Tabernacles, and it should also be a place and a time of joy for us. We often read Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16, when we do offerings. I'm going to go over there, and I'd like to read the first three verses before that. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 16 for a moment. Deuteronomy 16. And let's read verses 13 through 15, just before we read that verse that's often read it when we take up an offering. Deuteronomy 16, beginning in verse 13. He says, "You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress, and you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter and your male servant and your female servant and the Levite and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you surely rejoice." Again, emphasis here on rejoicing. Clearly the Feast of Tabernacles is a time and is a time of rejoicing. Not just because we rejoice in keeping it today, but because it will also be a time of rejoicing in the millennium. It's also going to be a tremendous time of rejoicing as Jesus Christ sets up his government, and this basically takes down the governments of this world and sets up his, and life becomes a whole lot more pleasant for human beings in many ways. Perhaps that first Sabbath, that first holy day during the feast, may not be the most joyous of all the time in the millennium, as people have been through a tremendously difficult time before they went into the millennium. But that joy will build with each Sabbath, with each holy day, all through the entire course of the millennium. It will be something to look forward to. People will, as they realize the benefits of keeping God's festivals and learning from God, learning how to live, and learn to live differently than they've always lived up to that time, they're going to have increasing amounts of joy. And it's for this opening of the millennium and the beginning of Christ's reign that David wrote Psalm 98. If you'll turn over toward Psalm 98, to give you a little background on it. In most Bibles, it's simply titled as a psalm of praise. That's putting it pretty simply. There's a whole lot more to that psalm. Yet it's a psalm of praise to our Savior in particular. It's a psalm of praise to Jesus Christ as the King, and a psalm of praise to him as the coming judge as well. David understood the necessity of praising God through music. Notice verses 4 through 6 here of Psalm 98. He says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and with the sound of the psalm, with trumpets and with the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King." So it's okay to break forth in song. I do every once in a while in the shower. There are appropriate times to break forth in song. We have an opportunity in terms of our hymns to break forth in psalm here, or in song and psalms here as well. Verse 7 actually shows that the sea will roar and the rivers will clap their hands. And, of course, the implication, of course, is that Christ, this is as Christ returns, that he, as he's setting up his kingdom, that things are going to roar in hallelujah, that he has finally come. And this psalm was written for the day that Jesus Christ becomes king and takes over the kingdoms of this earth and returns here to set up his kingdom. I don't suspect that just because David at this point in time is resurrected and becomes king of Israel once again in the millennium under Jesus Christ, that he's going to stop writing music or singing psalms of praise. I don't think that's the way David is. I think David will have a lot to say, maybe a lot of music to write, a lot of hymns to put to music. We may see him do a lot of things, unexpected things. Maybe maybe we can take a few dance lessons from him. I don't know. You know, he's going to give us an awful lot. I would like to point out something else here, though, in the Psalms while we're here. There are 15 Psalms called the Psalms of Degrees or the Psalms of Ascent in Psalm 120 to 134. They were, it's believed, it's certainly the ideas of what we have of the construction of the temple, that there were 15 steps, roughly, that came from the lower courtyard that went up into the courtyard of the temple itself. Those 15 steps were something that it's believed some of the hymns that he wrote or some of the psalms that he wrote here were sung on those steps. And they began on Tishri 1, which is the first day of the seventh month on the Hebrew calendar, which we know is the Feast of Trumpets. That's when they started on the first step, began to sing hymns in preparation for the coming of the Feast of Tabernacles. And they would sing on one step each day, and the Levites would move up the steps and sing each day toward that time. And it went from the 1st of Tishri to the 14th of Tishri, which would be the equivalent of our opening night on the Feast of Tabernacles. And then, of course, the 15th was the holy day at the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles. And they'd sing praises each day on each of those steps as they got closer and closer to the altar and to the temple itself as they went up the steps. And we, too, in our age, in our time, we're getting closer and closer to the coming of the Feast of Tabernacles, to the fulfillment of it, the return of Jesus Christ. And so we again see David focused a lot of his efforts and music on the Psalms and the feast days throughout what he does. Now, let's take a look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16 again. I should have probably told you to keep your finger there. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. But before I get there, let me ask you a question about all of this. Now that we've talked about some of this music and what David was doing, certainly we rejoice at the keeping of the Feast of Tabernacles and these days that we're celebrating, but how much more do you think the people during the millennium will have great joy? After what they've been through, we've not been through what they are going to be, what they will have gone through by this point in time. It will have been a very difficult time through the, of course, the fifth seal of Revelation, or the great tribulation, the seven last plagues, the seven thunders. They will have, you know, experienced a world half destroyed by man's bungling and by the fact that God has had to bring people to repentance. They will have been through a lot. How much more should we be joyous than we are, perhaps? And how much more should we contribute to the song service than we already do? They certainly will then. And they, I suspect, might put us to shame in terms of how they sing and how they celebrate and how they worship God in the songs. I would suspect their rejoicing then will be even greater than ours. Now let's go back to 1 Chronicles again. As I said, 1 Chronicles 16, verses 4 through 7. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Let's read verses 4 through 7. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, and next to him Zechariah, then Jael, and I think I'll skip some of these names, but he's going through these guys. And then Jael with stringed instruments and with harps, and with Asaph made music with cymbals. Benaniah and Jehaziel, the priests, regularly blew the trumpets before the Ark of the Covenant. Then in verse 7, on that day, David first delivered this psalm to the hand of Asaph and to his brethren to thank the Lord. To thank the Lord. We've given a little bit of information that we can kind of explore here. and look at what David appoints Levites to minister, to serve the ark, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. And this, of course, is a more permanent form of appointment of these men than he had done earlier in chapter 15. Now he's permanently appointing them. And this was simply for chapter 15 was primarily for the transfer of the ark. Now he's permanently appointing them, and David is setting up the Levites into these stations involved in music. I want to look at some of the Hebrew words here in terms of the singing and the instruments in particular in verses 5 and 6. The order of the words here may not be the same in your King James or New King James version. It's actually harps with lyres. That's the way the two words are phrased in the Hebrew. The first word, harps, here is nevel, or it's plural, which is nevelim. And the second word that we have, these are certainly not the big harps that we're talking about that we see in orchestras today. These are kind of handheld. One, you hold the harp in one hand, play it with the other. It is believed that they sometimes had 10 strings, but we don't know a great deal about them. The next word in verse 5 is the Hebrew word kenor. It actually is plural as well, so it's kenorot. And this is a lyre or a stringed instrument, also held with one hand and played with the other hand. But those are the two instruments that we have the most, information, and we don't have a lot of information about them, that are used here. And I think most of you know what those are. So we have a percussion instrument, and it's played here for us, or it's talked about being played here. There are trumpets and cymbals as well. I think you know what those are. And horn instruments as well. Now, let's take a look at what David did here. 1 Chronicles 23, verse 5. 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and verse 5. 1 Chronicles 23 and verse 5. 4,000, it talks about here. 4,000 individuals were gatekeepers, and 4,000 praised the Lord with musical instruments, which I made, said David, for giving praise. So David has 4,000 people dedicated to the playing of instruments here. Though we have a rather large choir and a rather large orchestra here at the feast compared to other feast sites, we're pretty small compared to what David had. And David's kingdom was pretty small compared to the kingdom Jesus Christ is setting up in the millennium. So how many instruments do you think will be being played in Jerusalem when Jesus Christ is there in the future? I would suspect a rather large number. I can't even guess how many. Now, if David had this many, I think we can see that the future is probably, there's going to be more. Probably even a greater variety of instruments as well. Let's take a look at how powerful the music is in the temple services now as an example. You know, it's very difficult to get a group of instruments to sound like one together, all together. That's something that's not easy to do. It is a type of unity, and we see later in Solomon's temple during the dedication of Solomon's temple, they played together as one. The moment they played together as one, God entered the temple. The Shekinah began to appear within the temple. It's interesting, the singular sound of music seems to have triggered God to come down and enter the temple at a particular point in time. Just like God responds to prayer, sometimes he responds to music as well. And the house of the holy place was filled with the smoke of the Shekinah. This is 2 Chronicles 5, verses 11 through 13. We don't have time to go there. In the New Testament, we're also told to sing. Paul understood the value of it. You can go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21, and he talks about that there and the benefit of it and the fact that the Jews, of course, we look at them, they sang when they were in the sukkah or in their temporary dwellings during the Feast of Tabernacles. It was customary to sing. Again, a time of rejoicing. In Revelation 15, verses 2 through 4, we also see those who had the victory over the beast and over his mark and number were singing the song of Moses. The Lamb before God's throne. There's music throughout. Did you know that God sings? God sings too. Let's turn over to Zephaniah, last scripture here. Zechariah. Let's go back up here. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. Zephaniah 3 verse 17. Oh, I'm in chapter 2. That's why I can't find verse 17. Here we go. The Lord your God, in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Yes, God sings. You know, sometimes parents sing to their children to put them to sleep at bedtime. How great will it be to have God sing to us or sing for us? I suspect it will do anything but put you to sleep. It won't be like a lullaby, I'm sure. But it will be fantastic. Let me remind you that all the praise that I mentioned in the beginning from 1 Chronicles 15, verse 16, where David said these words, "By raising the voice with resounding joy," this feast is a reminder of what the worship of God in the millennium is really supposed to be like. Jesus Christ ruling over the earth. Do you sing today with resounding joy? I hope so. I think David, as King of Israel under Jesus Christ, will have something to teach us all in the millennium about praising God with music. And in the meantime, let's do our best to raise our voice with resounding joy as we sing here at the Feast of God.